Yes, indeed, we are in conversation with, and the conversation right now is about Zondo, because ANC President Cyril Ramaphosa has made his first appearance at the commission in his capacity as leader of the party. The focus of his appearance is on ANC policy and cadre deployment, which led to, guess what, state capture. Online is the Director of Research at the Owol Socioeconomic Research Institute, ASRI for short, Angelo Fick. Angelo, welcome.
Salam alaikum to you and to your listeners.
Walaikum salam back to you as well. Body language-wise, I must confess Ramaphosa not sweating like other people have in the seat, and nor has he had problems with his throat so he can catch an aeroplane. But on a more serious note, he has said never, ever again in terms of state capture. He's admitted damage has been done. And something I picked out from his statement, therefore I appear not to make excuses nor to defend the indefensible. My opening question, is he defending the indefensible?
I'm not certain that he's necessarily defending the indefensible, but he is certainly trying to offer explanations for why the indefensible has happened, and suggesting that these are mistakes made by the African National Congress. Now, so far, that is entirely true. But these were not mistakes that weren't pointed out and that weren't subject to criticism from people who had South Africa's interests at heart and weren't necessarily opposed to the ANC in its quintessential or in their sort of everyday life. So it is, you know, slightly rhetorically misleading for the president of the African National Congress to suggest that this information is sort of new in the domain, that from the first moments prior even to Fikile Mbalula's statements in 2012 and 2011, as far back as 2008, somebody like Dr. Mampili Nampeli indicated that state capture was a danger because of this capturing of the civil service and because of the way in which cadre deployment was working. So it is true that he is not defending the indefensible, but it is all in the delivery and the detail that we begin to see that this is still a defense of the ANC.
Yeah, I suppose he must be in a very difficult position. Maybe that's an understatement. I know that Juanita Hunter, for example, has called him the king of sound bites. Another journalist has said he's very textbook, and another journalist said he's very underwhelming.
Well, I think that many people may be expecting dramatic revelations or some kind of drama. This is bureaucracy at work, and we know that Cyril Ramaphosa in his work has been, you know, focusing on the bureaucracy rather than the charisma. And I think it is important for South Africans to pay attention to the substance rather than the style. And it is unfortunate when our gatekeepers and our information peddlers and members of the intelligentsia continue to focus on style over substance. It's important for us to separate how people deliver their testimony from what the content of that delivery may be. And here Mr. Ramaphosa is explaining away and offering justifications for cadre deployment. And we need to consider as citizens and as observers whether those justifications are necessarily true. The Chief Justice, the Deputy Chief Justice himself confronted Mr. Ramaphosa with a very specific element of how cadre deployment would fail and would in fact run a parallel process to existing processes which the President of the African National Congress had to concede was in fact possible. And so we also need to distinguish between the ideals that the President of the African National Congress suggests are the ways of cadre deployment and the actual practice which ordinary people on the ground have been complaining about for 15 years.
In fact, I mean, I'm trying to remember everything that I've been trying to absorb, is that I think Ramaphosa himself did admit that there was a disconnect between policy and practice. And I think this is where South Africans begin to get frustrated, because they say, yes, dude, we agree with you, but where's the implementation? I think implementation is the magic or the missing magic word, it seems, in terms of moving forward.
Yes, it is an implementation issue, but it's also not new. So if the African National Congress realized in 2011 or in 2015 or whatever other date they wish to say that there was a disconnect between policy and its implementation, but something that again had been pointed out from the turn of this millennium, the early 2000s, by people suggesting that what the policy said and what they were being given were two different things. We can go far, you can go through the last 20 years, and it's the textbook scandal in KwaZulu-Natal, it's rollout of ARVs in the Free State and KwaZulu-Natal, it is healthcare provision that led to the Life Isidimeni tragedy in Gauteng. It's a variety of processes that have unfolded at both provincial and national level, but also at municipal level. If we go into the Eastern Cape, it's the reason that people say all sorts of facilities were not delivered when they said they would be delivered. So the policy around cater deployment and its implementation is precisely the crux of the problem, as the Deputy Chief Justice pointed out. You cannot have one legal process and the party process separate from that legal process. And what's now being discussed, of course, is the transformation of the civil service and what happens when cater deployment infects the civil service, because while many people think cater deployment is merely a policy around changing the civil service, the way in which it's worked, we can begin to think of it as a viral infection that has caused the disease of corruption that we have seen.
Indeed. I know that the president did say that cater deployment was not unique, obliquely referring to the DA taking over in Cape Town, point conceded, and here comes a but in capital letters. He did say in a roundabout way that cater deployment had to be married to principles of competency, and I think he used the terms close to the interests of South Africa. I'm not satisfied with that, I must confess. There's too much rhetoric going on here. We need something more specific.
Right. So, again, in citing the OECD research on the political appointments versus the civil service, that's a very general point that he makes, but that report goes on to specify about levels of deployment. So, certainly, there are political appointments in the senior civil service. That's a global standard, and whether that should be the practice is a different question. But hiding behind global practice does not obscure the fact that actually at almost every level of the civil service, cadres, you know, South Africans have complained, the cadres have been deployed over qualified people. If we look at the graduate unemployment rate, that's certainly true. If we look at the way in which people with lesser qualifications are often in senior positions in the civil service over people with better qualifications but without the political connections, that's been the complaint of university graduates in this country for decades. Now, of course, the whole point of this is that the president is defending a policy because in an election year, he can't suddenly get rid of all these deployed cadres because they've been rewarded with civil service positions for their political activities for the party. And in an election year, as he himself had to concede in a moment in his opening statement, it is important that the ANC continues to make itself electable. And the problem has been that when it came to self-enrichment and funds diverted, maladministration, wasteful expenditure, the paper trail is rather an indictment of cadre deployment policy.
Angela Fick, Executive Director from ASRI, who now has to rush off to interview number 33 for the day. Angela, as always, it's a great pleasure.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
The Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM stereo.
Alhamdulillah, the month of